Thank God that's over, Tate.
What was that?
International Women's Day. We can be... Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I'm exhausted from being nice to you lot. Oh, back to normal anyway, gang.
I have not...
Oh, go your hair, Tanya.
I have not seen so many people celebrating it.
Yeah.
Talking about it.
Yeah,
true.
Posting it, but in positive ways.
Yeah, of course.
I mean, just making it a positive day, which is obviously not what it's all about.
Taking full use of it, I think, too. You know, Jack, my mate, a few others, I had to bow, make tea, I had to do things.
Yeah, there's those sort of things that we're slowly getting out of it, too.
Why not?
Yeah, my wife went, and eldest daughter went to like a thing at a friend's house.
Yeah.
About 30 women all just sitting around having a great time together.
Yeah.
I think is what it was great.
Exactly.
Nah. Were you serving and waiting on them?
No, I was serving and waiting on the other children at home, lamenting the fact that my wife wasn't home. Helping.
Oh, well.
What a day. Yeah, but you're right. It was all over the place and seeing lots of those sorts of things. What we were just talking about.
Mm.
And I keep forgetting. I don't know if this is weird, because we did talk about it yesterday, because my daughter Jasmine did bring it up. Because she did. You know she listens.
Yeah.
Mentioned that I did forget her and all the, you know, powerful women in my life.
Yeah.
And like you just did, Rising, I keep forgetting. Oh, yeah, God, daughter. I always go up or sideways as women. Oh, that's right, my daughter Jasmine, she's a woman.
Yeah.
Well.
I don't know what, you know.
Yeah, I do.
But she certainly reminded me.
Rightly so.
And what a strong woman she is. She was like a nurse in the COVID dark days in Europe when no one knew what the hell COVID was.
Did Rosie just make it sound like the Middle Ages then?
It did,
it
Rise.
Felt like the Middle Ages, it's COVID.
Like, often, it's like she had to slay a dragon on the way to work.
Yes, often as she lit her lantern and went
into
hospital.
It was a bit Game of Thronesy, wasn't it?
Yeah, very.
But yes, it was a good day. It did a little reminder too of all... Great women in our world.
Yeah.
I thought it was all right.
Yeah, very much so.
What about you? Did you have fun?
Yeah.
I saw that. You know, I love that photo of you and your mum.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love Evie.
She is going very well, my mum.
Yeah.
So
she's still not available, right?
Ben's still kicking.
Yeah.
She went to the theatre on Sunday when I popped over. I'm not kidding. You should have seen Tanya's mum, Evie. She's stunning.
Yeah.
That'll get back. She'll love that.
Beautiful black dress.
Where was that photo lovely. Taken? I was trying to figure out
the
vineyards.
Yeah.
You see, now, and Tanya's side, right, so she can look at Evie and go, well, I'll tell you what, I've got to, you know how you say, look at your parents, look at your
look
future.
Look at your parents to see what the face map's like.
That's it.
Yeah.
I was like, mate, you're laughing.
I know. She's got great skin, hasn't she?
Great skin. It looks fantastic. Whereas in my case, I've seen photos of my grandfather. It looked like Jab of the Heart. So it's like, you know.
Something to look forward to.
Well, there you are.
Isn't it funny what they do say? Look at, as you've just said, look at that prospective parent's partner. Partner's parents to see what you're going to end up with.
Absolutely.
Now, you're doing okay too, Ross, because I know your mother-in-law's pretty hot.
Yeah, I'm doing pretty good.
Yep.
Hey, Vicky, if you're listening. She does listen.
I just realised how creepy Ross and I say. We're just both hitting on 70-year-old women.
Absolutely.
And our mother-in-laws. What the hell?
Oh, my God, Evie. Oh, she doesn't like anyone knowing her age. 52-year-old women. Tanya and Steve's. On the line. What you got there, mate?
Oh, look, I'm sure you saw it too. The girls, nearly 30 schoolgirls, hospitalised after playing on a Ouija board in Colombia.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the hospital is saying it's anxiety, which
they're
is causing them.
They're just not tough enough, mate. We all did Ouija boards in the 80s.
I know.
I was the one that moved the thing.
There was always one.
Hello.
I thought that would have been you.
Well, because I got bored. It'd be like, go to Y if you're in the room. Nothing. Here we go. I'll move it. But yes, I was reading that this morning, all going in there, hospitalised. I wonder which one of theirs moved it.
Well, maybe that's where the anxiety started, because they're all having a crack and they felt awful. But they've been around Ouija boards since 1986, they say they started manufacturing.
Big 80s thing.
They were.
Huge.
Gather around with your friends.
Being the Throwback Thursday it is, you're right, I was thinking that, reading that story this morning. It was a thing.
But did you have the actual board?
Yeah.
Oh, well, see...
Yeah.
Bring in the pour off music, Rise, because in Raymond Terrace, we just cut out pieces of paper with letters on them used an upturned beer glass.
Yeah.
And away we went. No rule board in Raymond Terrace.
Wow. a beer glass. Yeah. I think she knows my secret now. I'll let her go first. And no matter what you end on, I'll go, oh, my God, you were rich.
You were lucky.
But how about if I made a homemade one being dyslexic?
Oh, God. I pity the poor spirits trying to come in on that game.
How did you dare? Died. Dead. Oh, give up. Hey, another little online thing you may have seen, but I'll throw it around because I did think it was cute. A couple of friends booked a flight to Budapest, Hungary.
Yeah.
Right? They're just mates. It's gone online and everything. Budapest, Hungary, here we come! And just as I'm boarding the plane, it was to another place in Romania called Bucharest, and it was 835 Ks away. Right? That's a fair way.
Yeah.
Right? Oh, so God. They're getting on board, they look up and go, hang on a minute. And then, of course, it's the who booked this biz. Yeah. But on that, okay, and you know both of us, we're little flight tire kickers.
Yeah.
You'll be amazed when you just go to the destination. Even, like, you're right, Melbourne. There's three other Melbournes.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing can happen.
Exactly.
But on this, right, so Budapest versus Bucharest, whatever, on this, can you imagine how many dumb Americans want to come to Australia and end up in Austria? Can you imagine how many of them? They get off the plane and go, wow, I really thought it would be warmer than this.
Tanya and Steve's First Itch.
All right, this is where you hear the first touch of a song. And if you guess the song and artist, you get this.
Yeah, it's a double pass to Sip and Savour, food, wine, beer and live music, March 31 to April 2nd at Spears Point Park.
Had a little test while you were making a drink, making a tea.
Yes.
Right, and again, I got it pretty quick.
Really?
We would. I thought you'd play on air.
Okie dokie.
See if you can get it.
133353. Give us a call right now if you think you can solve the first inch.
It's interesting, isn't it? I find this in anything in life. If you're good at it, eventually people just get cranky at you.
Yeah, I was getting cranky to see. I'm like, give me the world champion at this game if this was a real thing. I'm not playing with you anymore.
Telling you now, if you're going to pass anything on to your kids, say, oh, just be average, for God's sake. Because if you're good at anything, you will be run down.
133353. Big song this one. Always hated this band, though.
Really?
Yeah.
Funny you say that. Actually, I'm not a massive fan.
Right.
We're giving it away now. Tanya will pick it.
133353. If you want to have a crack today, give us a call right now. Win a double pass to Sip and Savour. Great festival, Lake Macquarie. It's coming to Spears Point Park. I think we've got someone on the phone.
We have. We've got Jen on the line. Hello, Jen.
Hello. How are you?
Good, Jen. Have a listen to our first inch.
Okay. Hello. Here we go, on the Jen. Phone. One more. You know it, T. I can just see it.
Don't. Oh, no, I'm sorry.
No good, Jen?
That's all right, Jen.
I don't like this band either.
No.
How weird is that?
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah. Give us a
look. You're right.
Yeah, you're right.
You've just held up a sign.
It's unanimous. The three of us hate a band. We're about to play on the radio.
Yeah, we're about to play this.
No, I don't mind them, but I don't.
No, I don't hate them.
No feelings.
I've never got a CD or album or anything like that. We have now got Danielle. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, Daniel. Have a listen to the first inch.
Nah, nothing.
Nothing?
One more, mate.
Nah.
Have a great day, Daniel. We've got a Wonji here.
Hello, Wonji.
There you go, Wonji. Wonji lives in Michael.
Hey, hello, Michael.
Money's too tight to mention.
Nailed it.
Boom.
Simply Red.
Yeah. You know, the band everyone hates.
Pretty much.
You've got a double pass to Sip and Savour Lake Mac from March 31. It looks like it's going to be an amazing weekend.
Yeah, it does. Yep. Do you like Simply Red, Michael?
No.
Too bad we're playing them.
I'm telling you now, every time we go to our music director, Triple E goes, nah, research is world champion. You're an idiot.
Ever seen Simply Red live? Have they been to the country?
Palais.
Yeah? Palais Royal in Newcastle.
Yeah, they did.
Why don't you just flush your money down the toilet?
Newcastle's 102.9 Triple M. This is Tanya and Steve. What a great band there. That's Simply Red. Great song. Money's too tight to mention.
The boss ring you?
Yes. I didn't realise how many great songs Simply Red had. I'm just looking like there's big.
Anyway. Oh, that's a good song too.
Yeah, a couple of good songs.
I'm back on the Simply Red train.
Yeah, they're both showing your colours now, you gutless wimps.
The boss is in the building. So, yeah. Great band, Simply Red.
Hey, look, I'm just going to ask you this, mate, because it came up And I look, and I didn't realise this, but the point is I want to ask you if you're noticing it as well, because we are in tougher times, right? But this is true, right? This is one of those facts that I throw out at you, and it was in my pile. In Italy, right, if you're caught stealing small amounts of food in a supermarket,
right,
it's actually you can actually get off the crime if they feel that you're poor or hungry enough.
Yeah.
So grab your knife and forks, gang, and head on out. But I do, and I know I've asked you this often, I can't tell you how many times I walk around that fruit and veg and just watch people chewing.
Mm. They do.
Yeah.
The grape.
Mainly grapes.
The grape is the thing that we're allowed to try.
But when you see someone just gnawing on an apple.
I know.
Because it's like, you'll buy it later, it'll weigh a little less.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah. And like, I love the free fruit now for kids, though, that parents can just reach
they
in
still
and give
doing
them.
That?
Yeah, they are.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Which I think is amazing in this day and age that we're doing that.
Mm.
But yeah, as far as me eating free fruit, it's only a grape or a little boy. The little sauce, the, what do you the, call it? I don't know what to call it, the little boy.
The Frankfurt, the junior Frankfurt.
Yes.
I tell you what, that is going to isolate brilliantly in a promo later.
Yes, it will.
Well, yeah,
if I'm not eating grapes, I'll eat someone's little boy.
I sound like
do you cook him or just a bit of vinegar on him or something?
No, you know what I mean.
I do.
You get one from the deli.
They are called little boys down here.
They are.
I called them little Frankfurts, I think it was, or whatever. But you're not wrong. They are called that.
Yeah.
And how the hell?
Thank you.
How do you eat those walking
just
around?
Just raw. They just give it to you.
Oh, yeah, I just Googled little boy and apart from some strange photos, see a Frankfurt there.
They are, but is there any
in
other...
In New South Wales, they're
cocktail
always...
Frankfurt.
Cocktail
Frankfurt. There you go. That's it.
Yeah. Tanya,
what?
I get what you're saying, but that stopped happening to me when I was 11. You know, when the butcher would go, there you go, champion.
Yeah. You don't know how to flutter your eyelashes, Steve.
No. Well, actually, you know what? My top button came undone again the other day, and I did get one. You're right.
Live and local from the heart of Newcastle. 102.9 Triple M.
Morning, Dave.
Hello, guys. Well, excitement definitely building for the supercars. The big team trucks rolled into pit lane yesterday, so they're busy setting up before the first practice session tomorrow. A bunch of events are happening around town today, including at Gregson Park at Hamilton, where all 25 drivers will be there for a meet and greet. We're hearing from hotels in the city this morning who say it's the busiest they've been in years, which is great. Interestingly, the supercars also sent through a statement late yesterday saying that the new Ford Mustang and the Chevy Camaro have officially been given the okay to race. So they went through a heap of tests and checks over 4 days to ensure the cars are evenly matched, that one's not a whole lot more faster than the other. But I don't know what they would have done if they didn't pass the test.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
Sure, there'd be some boy racers in the burbs with their hotted up controls.
Well, I was about to say, I might have got the call. got the Chrysler 300 in there. Yeah, they're highway patrol cars now.
But that the east end is just don't even bother going there for a sticky beak. Mm. It is, it's madness there at the moment. But but it's exciting. I know a lot of people don't like it and they're dead against it, but I think most people are.
Yeah.
Have you heard from many businesses up that end?
It's a pretty common story that they're not really that keen on it. And I think, when they first brought in the supercars, it was all about, hey, this is great for business, but no, not really.
Yeah, I've asked a couple actually on the flow-on effect, because they say what it brings to town. But that money it brings to town mightn't necessarily mean for those businesses that are near the track, right?
No.
And yet, you know what, to be honest, the ones I've asked just a little outside, but they've gone, you know what, we haven't worked it out yet.
Mm.
Meaning they're still not sure.
Yeah.
There was a guy who used to work. He had a cafe at the station, which is right there, right on the track. And he said it was the quietest weekend he ever had. This was a few years ago, because the way that spectators went into the precinct, they didn't go past his cafe.
Mm.
They went around it. And, dead quiet. And he's right there. It's hit and miss. But speaking of messes, it was a disaster on the trains yesterday. The entire network came to a grinding halt during the afternoon peak period, including on the Newcastle line. So trains weren't running for about 90 minutes. A major investigation is underway, but it looks like there was a communications issue where basically the drivers couldn't speak to the control centre. Now, for the government, this could not have come at a worse time with the election, just over 2 weeks away.
Mm.
But we're told that trains are running as normal this morning. The other big issue was Ubers in Sydney. They jacked up the prices. A trip that would normally be $40 was $500 yesterday. Yeah.
Hey,
were they getting it?
Trust me, there's a thing to watch out the cars weekend.
Yeah,
same
exactly.
Deal.
Yeah, big time.
Mm. But people, were they paying it?
Yeah. They need to get to the airport or they need to get home.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Wow.
Buses were full.
I always get so stunned at how quick it changes, though, because you look and go, oh, I've got to book it in an hour. Just, what is it? Ah, $13, good. And then you put it away. I know you should book it at that. But then you get it, pick it up an hour later. And it's a big $40. And then it does. It fluctuates so much.
And a new study has ranked the best cities to live during a zombie apocalypse. Ooh. According to rentola.com.au, no doubt highly scientific research, they've found Brisbane has been ranked the safest, with Sydney and Melbourne coming in second and third. It only measured capital cities, so Newcastle's not on the list.
Nah.
Hobart came in last. And it's based on a whole lot of things like population density, how many hiding places there are, supplies, the number of vehicles like camper vans, crime levels, and even the number of people who've served in the military. So it looks at all of that, and it's worked out that, Brisbane... the place to be.
Okay. I'm just going straight to T's bunker.
Definitely.
Oh, she's got that very equipped.
I did think about putting one in when we were building the house because of that reason.
Mm.
Yeah, right.
And none of the builders were on board.
No.
Surprisingly.
No. Wonder why.
Had a few walk away from the job.
Did you?
One minute I mentioned zombie,
I'm just wondering what the listeners are thinking right now.
They obviously
you say that out loud.
Just thinking about The Last of Us, the TV show.
Stop
zombie
it.
Zombie apocalypse.
Oh,
see?
Yeah.
It's an
excellent show.
Mm. Yeah.
I know it was only Camp Cities, but come on, I'm going to Cooper Pedy.
Well, but
down you go. Shut the
door. Yeah, but, you know, where do you get away if they get there?
What do you mean?
Well, you're stuck. You're basically...
stuck underground.
Infiltrate your bunker.
Yeah.
You're game over, Steve.
You can't infiltrate the bunker. You've got a door.
Yeah. I think we're thinking about this too much.
I think you're right.
There's only one way in and out.
Thank you, Dave.
Pleasure.
There's Dave Dolan from the Triple M newsroom. Finance expert Effie Zahos going to join us before 7 o'clock this morning. We'll find out if she thinks it's the end of the interest rate rise. Fingers crossed.
We'll say end of the world then.
Yeah.
Well, that too.
We've just come off a zombie rave. We're building a bunker so we can hide from our mortgage. It's getting like that. Hey, I just want to ask you a question on the show, T. Because we text backward and forward yesterday. I'm having a short little 4 days in April. All of us have a week off, but, I'm going to Cairns. Now, well, I went to Cairns last time on my own. It was quite a big deal, my first time away. Mm. I did like it, but didn't get to do a lot of the things you've told me about.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you told me the train...
What Karanda Rail.
Yeah.
So you've got to go up on the train and then back on the sky.
Right.
Car.
Okay. So I found this thing, and I text Daniel and went, is this the one you mean? Is this all right? And it was, the Karanda day trip. Karanda train, Skyrail, which is everything you said encapsulated.
But you've got to go the extras and do the glass bottom Skyrail.
Okay.
Right.
Right. Glad you brought it up. Here's my question. I got excited. I went, that's cool. Tanya said it's great.
Yeah.
And I do remember you saying, but make sure you get that glass one down.
Yeah.
And I was getting a little excited. Remember, I'm booking a holiday on my own.
Sure.
In my house on my own. Mm. And I went, wow. And then I went, what am I, 80?
What do you mean? What are you talking about?
Going away and booking a day trip on a bus. Am I bloody 80?
No.
Will I take a blankie?
No, but you've
packed lunch.
You've got to do it, and you have to book it. Otherwise, you're going to get sorely disappointed when you get up there and try and be cool, swing on in and go, I'll have a ticket, please, and they just laugh at you, and they go, why didn't you book this 3 months ago?
All right, then. Thank you. That's why I wanted to bring it on
just
air.
Just book it.
Because it did. Yeah, I was like, oh, my gosh, Dave. What's become of you? You're going away on your own, booking day trips on a bus.
And the little town you get to, Steve, is like a cute little quaint town with nice little cafes.
I can get myself some nice little coffee cups.
There's a butterfly sanctuary.
I was just going to say, you can go go for a wander through the butterfly fly sanctuary. And what you're going to have to do is get someone else to take a photo of you when you get to the part where the pretend butterfly wings are there.
Yes.
And you've got to stand in front of them.
Hang on a minute.
To make sure.
Hang on.
You got to
wait, wait. Cancel.
Good idea, Steve. Triple M. Effie Zahor's going to talk all things money next.
Start your day off with Tanya and Steve. And save up to $100,000 with the McDonald Jones huge house and land sale on now. Turn it up loud and clear, because Tanya and
No, I'm good as gold, thanks, T. No fear here. Everything's going well in my life financially with the mortgage.
Well, if you heard yesterday's show, you'll know that's not true, which is why we put the call into Effie Zahos from CanStar. She's with us. G'day, Effie.
Good morning.
The 10th rate rise, Steve's been in touch with his financial consultant who just laughed and laughed and laughed.
Good news is, though, Effie, he's presuming I'll live till 90 and I could pay it off.
Steve, I heard you were renting out every room in your house to help you pay for it.
Yeah, to work friends. It's getting out of control. But Effie, seriously, we say it every day. You live it every day. We all go, how are some people doing this?
Yeah, it's interesting. I think when it comes to meeting our mortgage repayments, there's one thing that Aussies do well is that they never try and miss a mortgage payment. We're quite happy to kind of put everything else on hold or sacrifice it, but we're pretty good at making our mortgage repayments. Unfortunately, for a lot of people, they're kind of, it's like a, you know, pedaling underneath water frantically. On top may look smooth, but every household will be feeling the pinch here. So when you think about how much our repayments have gone up since the first rate hike last year to now, it's 50%. So someone on, say, $500,000 mortgage is paying $1,000 more now in repayments.
Yeah.
That's $12,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
That's after tax money. And then I actually got Ken started to crunch some numbers. I thought, well, how many more hours do we have to work to actually cover this $1,000? It's a week. We need to find another week in a month of work.
Wow.
To cover these mortgage hikes.
That's huge, isn't
12
it?
12 weeks a year.
Effie, when it comes to, we understand, or the, in simple terms, the way us plebs understand it, the Reserve Bank keeps rising the interest rates to curb our spending. But isn't it true that only like 30% of Australians have a mortgage? So how are we putting it all on that 30% back to curb the rest of us from spending?
Yeah, it feels like homeowners are doing the most heavy lifting. But you're right, about a third of us have a mortgage, a third of us don't, a third of us rent. But when you put up interest rates, it makes money more expensive.
Right.
So what that means then is that if money becomes more expensive, theoretically, we don't spend as much, we don't put as much demand on things, so then prices technically come down. Here's the flaw with some of that. A lot of this is not demand driven. A lot of the inflationary pressure is because of this unusual circumstances of a pandemic, of a war, and it's outside influences. So in a lot of cases, the increase in prices has got nothing to do because I want more, say, you know, ice cream. Ice cream hasn't gone up because, you know, more people are demanding it. There's a number of reasons why it's gone up. But it does filter to renters as well, because you think of it, there's a huge supply issue for property. Most of the people that have investment properties are mums and dads. So if their interest rate bill goes up, what do they do? They pass it on to the tenant. So even though interest rates are predominantly the focus is on homeowners, it does filter through everybody and it does collectively put a drain on sentiment and demand, which is what the RBA wants. They want us to stop spending. They want to knock this out, this inflation. And this is why some economists are thinking, have they overshot? Because there is a lag by the time they increase interest rates until we actually act.
Mm.
And that's why some are saying we're going to see rate drop. Maybe as early as the end of this year, because it's going to have a huge impact on the economy. It's going to slow it down.
What's the feel, do you think, amongst all the lenders who would have people barreling at them right now to, you know, remortgage, change it up or whatever?
Well, this is an interesting thing. I contacted the big four banks only, I think it was last week, to do with another story I was doing for Today Show. And they all say, hey, we're not seeing this crisis yet. We're not seeing pain. Their defaults are nowhere near what, you know, maybe the headlines are saying. So is it a little bit of sensationalism at this stage? I'm definitely not saying there's not mortgage stress. We are feeling, and this is what I was saying before, we hide it well because we're probably not eating as much. We're probably not putting as much food on the table. Our kids are going without. We're pulling them off sport. We're doing everything to keep up with our mortgage repayments. But what's going to happen, remember, a lot of people who were ahead of their repayments, that buffer is going because we've had 2-3 hard years and people have relied on those savings. Those that locked in their fixed rates, they're all rolling off this year. So they're going from a 2% to basically a 6%. They're going to catch up with who the rest of the homeowners are. So I suspect a lot of those fixed rate homeowners have probably already started thinking, my goodness, I've got to pull back. I've got to pay extra because I'm about to roll off. There's going to be a huge amount of stress moving forward until we see this rate pause, which when you think about what the RBA actually said yesterday, it was more so what they didn't say. They didn't say multiple hikes. They said they'll be looking at possibly other increases, but the word multiple wasn't there. So I suspect they'll wait and see next week when the unemployment number, what number will that come up? What will the March quarter inflation figures show? And then they'll make a decision. But most economists are now saying that we have made, we'll be reaching our peak. We're almost there until we see a pause.
Well, that's good. That is good news. It's just a little aside, Effie. When we speak about the Reserve Bank, we speak about it in terms of it being a building. We know it's a board of people. But can you imagine being on that board and having family members harassing you all the time, going, "What are you doing? I have to give up getting my eyelashes extended."
I think they move in different circles.
Yeah. They do too.
True.
I don't think they have a mortgage, to be honest.
Yes.
And if they do, it's probably their own fault that they're on some waterfront McMansion.
Yeah, I'd love to see them do it like the rest of us for a month and then go back to the table and see how many rate rises we have to face.
Wouldn't you?
This is the thing. There is debate around who actually sits on this board, who should be included. And I think diversity on any board level is very, very important because that just brings a bit of realness in there too. So this debate is happening about who should be sitting on that board because, you know, diversity is a good thing.
Yes.
Oh, give me an hour on the board. I'll have them in tears. Poor old Risey over here. As you said, they're already getting ready for that day.
September.
Right in September, isn't it?
Yep.
He used to have Smash Avo from the cafe. He's got a Vegemite sandwich today.
And I'm doing Coles Night Fill as well, starting in a couple of weeks' time.
Pays well, mate.
Exactly. Effie, as always, thank you so much for your time and expertise. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
There's Effie Zahos from Canstar.
You know, it's a valid point we talk about all the time, but it's true. You've got a bunch of human beings making decisions on something they have no idea what it feels like.
They get driven to the meetings at the Reserve Bank. They get driven.
Yeah.
God's sake. Real people on the board.
I was going to say, that's pretty much just like getting an Uber.
No, but their drivers wear a cap, Stephen.
Fair call. Sorry, we were just watching something and tenuous. Yeah, go on.
Well, look, Princess Lilibet has been christened overnight. Princess Lilibet is the daughter of Harry and Meghan. They've had a christening in Montecito in California. None of the royal family were there by the looks of it. And I was saying just during that song, it's amazing that they've left it this long to baptise her, because usually baptisms / christenings are done very, very quickly.
Why?
The reason being that it's a horrible reason, Steve.
Sure.
Do you want me to say it?
No. It'll make more sense of what went on just after this.
Well, because now growing up Catholic, the idea being that if you don't baptise the child and something happens, then they get stuck.
Yeah, purgatory it's called, isn't it? Purgatory.
Yeah.
And
I hate that Catholic fear is awful.
What do you mean get stuck?
They don't get straight to heaven.
And I said to Tanya.
And of course all children would.
I then said to Tanya, oh bugger, I'm not christened.
Put the fear of God, like, bring me a swimming pool. We're going to drown him right now.
I'm not kidding. You should have seen her face.
The nicest possible way.
And I thought, for me, right, purgatory, it's basically like a plane flight to Europe. Isn't that the stopover before hell? Isn't it just a stopover?
Pretty much.
There you are.
There you go.
Let's hope I get a quick transit. But if I'm in that that place for a while.
But it all depends on the fear that was drilled into you. Again, speaking as a Catholic, as you were growing up, because baptism for other forms of religion or spirituality is very different.
Yeah.
Personal choice that you can do at any age.
See, my parents, the reason I wasn't, mind you, sister was, right?
Hey.
Oh, hey. Favouritism.
What's going on there?
So they your sister was baptised and you weren't?
Well, I think when they said we better baptise Steve, Dad went, I'm not going to bloody church twice in my life, though.
No way. What a waste of time.
I'm pretty sure that's what he said. They came to they said we wanted you to decide for yourself. So we didn't want to brand a religion on you. We wanted you to grow up, take in everything, and then decide for yourself.
Well,
they didn't believe in forcing a religion on their kid.
Okay. So do you want me to dunk you?
No, I'm good as gold. Right. Thank you, mate.
Just a bit of water across the forehead. No.
I've had a bit of a look into the purgatory thing and, you know, the Noah's Ark thing and everything like that. Yeah, I don't know.
One of my four isn't baptised. Like, so,
why?
And I don't reckon we'll ever get around to doing it. Yeah, Theo's not.
You can't do three and it's like Steve's family.
Steve turned out all right.
Tanya, I'll look after him. I know, Theo. This is good fun.
You can't just go halfway with children. You treat them all the same.
Yeah.
Seriously.
It's such a hassle.
Oh, I can't wait, though, when I walk over and go, it's hotter than I thought, Theo. What do you reckon?
You guys.
Spicy in here.
That's horrible.
Righties, I thought my air con and Carrington was bad.
It's Tenure and Steve. Jim Callinan is going to talk all things NRL in the Knights. We'll do that next.
Start your day off with Tenure and Steve and save up to $100,000 with the McDonald Jones huge house and land sale on now. Turn it up loud because Tenure and Steve is
Twitter.
Now, Tanya and Steve take you inside the gym. Callinan.
Morning, Jimmy.
G'day, team. How you doing?
Okay.
Fingers crossed for this weekend, mate.
Hey, look, there's a lot to take out of that first round. Have some confidence. I know, yes, we would have preferred a different result, but I saw enough there to give us confidence going to like up.
Oh, can I just remind you, you were the guy that told me that we were going to have three wins on the trot.
Yeah.
I love how you can take a comment and twist it into how you like it. You can come and work for me. Look, I said there was a very good chance they could be 3-0 and they were very winnable games. They didn't get the first one done, but I think the next two, certainly they can kick into gear. And look, what about the storylines team? David Clemmer, the players' player of last year against the old team, he has not done any media this week, which is a bit of a shame in some ways, but, gee, it underlines just how serious he's taken his preparation. When you think of the nature of the departure, and he got that suspension last year as well for that on-field incident with a trainer, I just think he is so wound up and ready to rip in. And it's got to be a huge game, too, for the Saifidi boys, because it's that classic old bull v. the young bulls. And I can tell you, the old bull in Clemmer does not want to lose to these guys.
It's interesting, as you were saying that, but it's good to talk about those sort of stories, isn't it? Because we're so early into the season, the non-total enthusiast, they go west and you think, okay, what are they like this year? Or who? But yeah, you're right, Clemmer's the storyline, I guess, isn't it?
Oh, he is. And then you got Jackson Hastings, who's now with us,
true,
who was with the Tigers last year. He's going back to Leichhardt. How's he going to be received? Because I don't think he, in truth, really wanted to leave. Clemmer certainly didn't want to leave Newcastle, yet here they are, lining up for opposing teams second week of the competition. So, look, they're two great storylines to come out of it. I really would like to know for sure and certain how Tyson Frizzell's going. Of course, he's got to go through these HIA protocols. I don't think we're going to know truly how he is until Saturday. But let's hope he's okay. Firstly, just for his own health. But for the Knights, I think he would be a massive return. It'd almost be like a return because he missed a large portion of the game. And then you got Lockie Fitz.
Yeah,
our man Lockie Fitz.
100 games.
Yes, true.
That's a huge achievement.
So good storylines coming up because we don't know the teams that well and they have the tipsters are going west.
Yeah, and like we've been talking over the last week, Jimmy, about the fact that if they keep letting these players go, like Clem and you know, there's a whole load of them. We're looking at people like Lockie Fitz to one day be the old boys that we, you know, we love going on the journey with. And 100, clicking off 100 is one of those.
Yeah, and we know that everyone in this town and this region loves when we develop our own.
Yeah.
And we've seen it, at least to success. 2001, 70% of that team, if not more, were homegrown players. I think the club are desperately trying to get back to that, and the academy and all those sorts of things are going to lead to that long-term plan. But in the short term, look, it is what it is. We just have to bite off and chew hard with what we've got as we continue to develop those sorts of players. That's the long-term
pretty sure
view,
too.
Look, that's the squad at the moment.
Pretty sure, too, we've got a John's boy on board this weekend.
Yeah.
Yes, we do.
So we've got two local boys.
Yeah, Jack on the bench has been named. So you imagine in the starting 17, that isn't going to change. So that's another good story as well. Look, in the background of this team too, and I hate to bring us down a little bit of a level, but I'm sure the club will be reacting to this really sad news, the passing of Dave Morley. I'm not sure if you're up to speed with it, but Dave, big dog, you know, just a huge part of the Knights for so long in the early days, very close to all those coaches, Alan McMahon, Mal Reilly, Warren Ryan. And there's a lot of old boys hurting today. I spoke with MG last night, Mark Lanville. He's pretty emotional about it all. And as you can imagine, very close to Dave. And he actually said he was like a second dad to many of those original Knights. So I would be very surprised if the club don't recognise that in some way before kickoff and certainly before their home game next week. But certainly our sympathies to the Morley family.
What did the call team think of Ponga's number six debut?
Look.
Oh, did you like that silence, Steve?
Not good.
No. Well, look, the first few minutes he was brilliant because he set up Lockie Fitz for the first try, and that left edge looked pretty good. There was enough there between Ponga and Hastings, I think, to give us confidence that this is certainly the right way to go. But as we said last week, they only had 40 minutes of football together before that game. So it's very hard to judge. It's a small sample size. They're only going to get better for it. But there was enough there. Like, that game was there to be won. And if you think about it, it literally was there to be won until Kalen Ponga was taken from the field with that HIA. It's then how does the team react and how are they resilient when something goes against them? And we saw they literally went from the Warriors' line, from being held up over the line for possibly the match-winning try. 2 minutes later, they concede the match-sealing try. It's just how they react to those tough moments. I think that they certainly still need to tidy up. But that's, you know, that's all part of the development of this side.
All right, so you're putting your money on the Knights then?
I actually will. Okay. Yeah. I will. I'll actually stick it out. Thank there.
I've
I
never
think
been
the Tigers are a team still wondering what they're doing, and they're at home. And at Leichhardt, a place where they shouldn't lose, they haven't actually won there for about four games in a row now. So it's not like it's this fortress that it once was.
All right. All right, thank you, Jimmy.
On your team.
They take care of it all. Get real. Get an all-steel shed.
I know you guys are speaking to Supercars reigning champ Shane Van Gisbergen tomorrow, but his teammate Brock Feeney is an interesting story as well. Youngest guy on the Supercars grid, was 19 in his rookie season last year, but just 16 when he first drove on our track.
I actually raced there in 2018 in the Toyota 86 series, so that was my first year ever racing a car. I just got my L's, I think, and then I went and raced there. So I only got off my P's a few months ago, just before Adelaide, actually.
Just yeah, before you won the race.
Exactly. Mm. Maybe it was a good thing. I got off my P's and I won. But, yeah, I mean, I started racing cars when I was 15, so I had nothing to do on the road and still had to go through my normal process, my L's and 3 years on P-plate. So, I mean, it's weird driving a supercar professionally and still having a P-plate on my Chevy truck out the front. I thought that was pretty cool.
Isn't that incredible?
Yeah.
To brag to your mates at school about. Well, you might think experience counts behind the wheel in driving. There's only three blokes over the age of 40 actually on the grid in the main game this weekend. And Brock reckons the sight of teenagers standing on the Supercars podium could become more common.
I believe you can get a racing licence or a Motorsport Australia licence and go racing at 14 years old. So
wow.
I think it all stems back to the go-karting in Australia is getting to such a high level. And you know, from 7 years old, they're racing, you know, around Australia. So it's just, I think it's just going to keep improving. And I think with time, probably the average age will keep dropping and dropping in supercars and these young kids will keep coming.
But the nerves of the parents would rise. Imagine that, your kid at 14 or 15 on the grid, on the Newcastle 500 racing around.
Jeez.
But that's where the sport is going.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Isn't that, hearing that? P-plate. Green or red?
We're here today thanks to McDonald Jones Homes.
Yeah, who have got a grand opening this Saturday of their brand new display homes at Hereford Hill in Lochinvar.
All that, you know, latest home designs and everything, interior styles, it's all there. But hey, you're getting free gelato, folks. Lots of other giveaways too.
Yep, face painting for the kids. So it's a real family day out. Plus, you'd inquire about the saving of up to $100,000 off packages with some of the leading land developments right across the Hunter.
All those new displays at Lochinvar. But get online and have a look for it yourself before you go. McDonaldsjoneshomes.com.au.
Tanya and Steve. Take that. Rewind it back. Throwback Thursday.
Right, because the supercars kick off tomorrow and it's all about the cars, we thought on our Throwback Thursday today, we'd wedge a car in there somehow. This is what we've come up with.
Wedge your car in.
It's we're going to take you back to when you used to have a bit of a kiss and maybe a bit of a cuddle, maybe a bit of a fondle.
Oh, God.
It's those places that you'd go parking in the car.
Yeah.
Spots around the Hunter that we may or may not know because it'd be different for different suburbs, don't you think?
Yes, true. Or so, where that spot might have been or whatever. Yeah, surely they even have to do it now, don't they?
Well,
do you hear it as much these days?
Or
because we're not in the parking demographic?
Well, do you think, Ross? You think it might be that?
We're not 17 anymore,
Ross. That's true. So,
where are you off to, son? Oh, I'm just going to go kiss my girl in the car.
But it's the, yeah, it's parking on Blueberry Hill, basically. Where's our Blueberry Hill?
I'm our thrill.
3353. Give us a call. Love to talk to you. 1-3353. We're reminiscing and throwbacking Thursday on the places you used to go, maybe go parking.
Yeah.
I guess my confession is the fact that our big thing from, you know, ages of 13 onwards, but even 17 onwards, was driving.
The driving.
Once you got your license.
Okay.
Wasn't much movie watching.
Yeah.
Couldn't tell you a movie I saw that. But yeah, the driving was kind of that thing. And there were more then too.
Okay.
But we had one in our suburb, so you had the driving.
Well, I can speak with authority at Raymond Terrace. It was Boomerang Park.
Right.
Now, do they still park at Raymond Terrace? I don't know.
I'm not sure whether you should have said speak with authorities. He didn't paint a picture. It was like, oh, yeah. What, Friday night? All night.
The other one that I know of is Kooragang Island. Oh, no, sorry, not Kooragang Island, Ash Island.
Right.
Ash Island.
Yeah, because you can have a romantic dinner.
Yeah.
You pick up some takeaway from McDonald's and then you just drive across the bridge.
Oh,
wow. Very dark over there.
Dinner for two and a kiss.
I honestly, people ask me, I go, I just think of tea. I think class.
Exactly. What? Get a six-pack of chicken nuggets and then she'd go and fondle a six-pack.
That's it.
What about Bar Beach Car Park? Come on. Yes. A lot of parking goes on there.
Well, Strez Lecky used to be like the Strez Lecky was the big one.
Always fun, though, if you were a lonely single guy, you'd go around knocking on windows with a torch. Open up, please.
You sound like Officer Dibble with Top Gun.
Yeah. That's because that was the thing.
Yeah.
I look back now thinking there's nothing illegal about it.
No.
But cops would do it. Yeah. What's going on?
Yeah.
Well, is it like indecent?
No, but you weren't even. Like. You were just there having some McDonald's and just hanging out together. But
I think
still
all,
parking.
I think you can all pick up. Danielle often said yes to dates because she wanted free Maccas.
Easily, like, please.
I'm going to say it again. You're all class, Wilkes. Hello, Chris.
Good mate.
Where did you go parking, Chris?
The old store car park where the interchange is now.
Oh,
yeah.
Was that a
up
thing?
Up the top there.
Right. Bloody romantic, Chris.
There weren't even views of the ocean there,
Oh,
Chris.
Mate.
No views. Okay.
No, it used to be pretty derelict as well.
Pretty much.
I bet you're going there now. Cops would knock on the window.
Callum, where did you go parking?
There you go. It's Bar Beach Car Park was the old haunt.
Yes.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
And I remember back in the days with my lovely wife, who I'm still with now 35 years later, We were doing the deed there in the car park, and a bloke come up and he knocked on the front window and he goes, "Hey, guys, can I have a cigarette?" And I said, "Mate, I don't smoke." But there was a bucket of Winnie Blues on the dashboard. No, he scared the shit out of us.
Thanks for sharing, Callum.
There you go.
Thank you, Callum. See? Doing the deed, getting asked for a smoke. There you go.
Wish I asked for a smoke when I knocked on. There you are, Jay. You might have noticed, too, that no girls rang up to this, because unlike you, they wanted to remain with a sense of decorum.
Okay. Well, I mean, Callum took it to the next level.
Mate, you had me at nuggets.
It's just all about hanging.
Wait a second. We might have a female on the phone.
Here we go, T.
Tony's from Cessnock. Tony, where did you go parking?
Number one hangout was Bimbadeen Lookout.
Don't know it.
Ooh, no, where's that, mate?
Up the top of Mount View.
Okay.
You sort of go out towards Bellbird Way and then follow the road up. And, yeah, Bimbadeen was the big spot.
Many there, Tony? Did you have to reserve a car spot?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Was there a Maccas nearby?
A Maccas in town back in my day when my husband and I first started dating, who I'm still together now, my love of my life.
Oh,
there you go.
Again at the Bimbadeen Lookout.
There you go.
Love that.
Thanks, Tony. There you go.
Yeah, you probably, when you think of the age, mate, maybe it wasn't Maccas.
Maybe not.
Goldfish and Gibbs.
You know, it's sad because I don't think the kids have that joy of
parking anymore.
Yeah, wangling their way through a gear stick that got in the way.
It's true, though, isn't it?
Yeah,
and,
true.
Oh, no, it's not so bad now. They're all managed to put up on parks, safe as houses.
Well, do they even do it?
What?
What, park?
I don't, look, I think a valid question. Why, if they've got nowhere to go.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. Anyway. You'll find out in a couple of years, right?
Yeah.
Oh, good to know.
Yeah, you will. No, he won't.
No, I definitely won't. And I don't want to know.
That's true.
No, he won't,
I don't
want
to know.
You and I will find out. But Rosie won't. Have her back by 10.
Tanya and Steve's 5K payday.
Yep, I'm out today and playing with Jenny at Etalong.
I was ready to leave. You're out today.
I am.
I was about to run to the booth, but you run to the booth,
well,
please.
Well, good luck, Jen.
Good morning. Thank you.
All right, I got the words here.
Be kind.
Yeah, well, we're trying to be kind, mate. Just, you know, though, we're handed the words. We don't make them up ourselves just to keep it above board. Now, okay, we'll just wait until... Okay, here we go. Now,
do you know how this works, Jenny? Have you played before along in the car?
Yeah, well, I have in the car.
Okay, yeah. Five words, five responses. If they match Tanya's, $5,000 is waiting for you. Tanya is in the soundproof booth, Steve, so whenever you are ready with these five words for Jen.
First word, Jen. Koala.
Kangaroo.
Fire.
Water.
One, as in O-N-E, one.
Two.
Calm.
Storm.
Last word.
Nice.
Generous.
Generous. Generous.
Hard word.
Yeah, it is.
It is a hard word.
Generous.
A generous person.
Hey.
So person, look in person, Jen?
Yeah.
No, I like it.
Yeah.
Anything I could think of.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. There we go.
Koala, kangaroo, fire, water, one, two, calm, storm, calm before the storm, and generous person. Good words.
Good luck, mate. We will get tea out of the booth. Get a sprint in here. You cross your fingers, mate. We'll see how we go. There's some interesting ones here, T.
There's no gimme. No, there's only one gimme, I reckon.
Yeah, true.
Okay. That took a while, Jen.
Yeah, the last one. There's the last one she really put some thought into.
Rightio.
All right, here we go. See if you match. Good luck, Jen. First word, T, koala.
Well, people say bear. They're not bears, but koala. I'm going to say bear.
Fire.
Fire. Hot.
One, as in O-N-E.
Two.
Calm.
Storm.
Generous.
This was the one Jen struggled a little bit with.
We usually say generous and giving. I'll go giving.
We're a two from five
two
today.
From five,
what were they?
Didn't do very well, did I?
well, we didn't, Jen.
Koala, Jen said kangaroo.
Yeah, okay.
I would have gone bear for sure. Yeah. We do still say that, don't
I know.
We?
Don't
fire. Jen said water for one. She said two, so you nailed that one. And calm storm.
Yep.
Generous person.
Generous person.
That was a toughie, generous.
I actually find them all a bit tough today, to be quite honest with you. Jen, so don't feel too bad.
It wasn't an easy one, was it?
No.
I think we've got $100 though to spend at Bar Mellow for you, Jen.
Yeah.
Wine, cocktail, snacks. It's the perfect spot to unwind. You'll have a great time there, Jenny.
Oh, that sounds good. Where's that at?
Not tell them.
Oh, well, I just can't go, can I?
We'll punch you back to Jerry. He'll give you all the details.
Del Bank Cool, mate. Okay. Beautiful. You'll love it.
Yeah. Newcastle West there. They've done it all up. It's looking the goods. Tenure and C's 5K payday, $5,000 on the line every morning at 8 o'clock.
Castacare, customised mobility solutions in-store or to your door. Tenure and Steve's.
What are you seeing and what are you giggling about?
I'm just giggling over. This is starting to go a little viral. Mm-hmm. This mum posted on Twitter that she had such a hard time telling her twins apart because they are full on identical to the point where they both had little moles on the same side of their cheek. So she's resorted to taking them to her local police station and asking them, can they fingerprint the children so she can at least, because she's terrified. She keeps getting them muddled up.
Wow.
So, and she's admitted that. So other twin parents and twins are jumping on this forum going, yeah, my parents came up with a failsafe. One of us was painted blue fingernails. The other one was painted pink. And that's how we lived our life.
How does the fingerprint one work, though? So it's like every time you want to tell your kids apart, just put your fingerprint
down. Well, you know what prompted that? Because she unfortunately had the same baby vaccinated twice.
Yeah.
And she said, she said, I can't go through the stress of worrying that could do to a tiny baby again.
Or even just feeding them, like,
double.
The one's getting a double feed, the other other one's not getting fed.
Yeah,
you know what
that's
I mean?
True.
Yeah.
That's how Jen, Rice, if you don't know, if you're new to the show, Rice is a twin, but that's how lucky Jen was because his brother's so much better looking, it was easy. Wasn't it, Rice?
Yeah. Yes, Steve. Yes, that is correct.
Easy for Jen.
But I think even as babies, though, I think I was always dressed in blue. My brother was always dressed in red. So. Yeah, sorry,
she wanted a girl.
Did she? But yeah, I've never thought about it before, but parents of identical twins?
Oh, yeah.
Can you imagine the stress?
Oh, yeah.
You put them in the cot, because there were people posting on, we used to wear bracelets until the day they fell off, and then we don't know whether, I'm him and he's me all these years later.
Oh, my God,
Let's think about the feelings hurt by the twins.
Well, yeah.
When your mum got you wrong.
Exactly.
You're my mother.
Your own mother can't recognise you.
There's got to be some feelings. Hurt there.
Absolutely.
A little later trauma for the psych. But I've always been intrigued by can parents tell identicals apart? We've been around long enough to talk to people.
I'm sure they get to the
half
point.
Half say yes.
Yeah.
Or more than half.
Yeah. There'd be little tiny things, like maybe the hairline is a tiny bit different. But when they're first born, they all look the same, regardless of whether they're related.
Yeah, that's true.
Yep.
Don't get me started on that.
You got to see the baby.
Why?
Exactly.
Let's wait until it gets a feature.
Just one.
Oh, doesn't look like your dad. No. But, yeah, I agree with you. I have heard, they tell by personality when they get older.
Yeah.
It's almost like you just ask them a question and how they reply is like, you're that one.
Yeah, it's like the meme running around at the moment. It basically says, can you believe these two are twins? The camera shoots one kid on the right who's playing a violin in a bow tie.
Right.
Swings to the left, and there's the other one hanging upside down on a monkey bar, practically strangling itself.
See?
Yeah, so,
see, one's called search, the other called destroy. I love that.
I know.
Personality.
So different.
Start your day off with Tanya and Steve and save up to $100,000 with the McDonald Jones huge house and land sale on now. Turn it up loud because Tanya and
Steve are here. Let's triple A breakfast. Can't thank you enough, Tanya.
My pleasure.
What for?
I mentioned on the show last week I had a button problem and I did spend a lot of time at a pub with the top button undone, the chest was showing, and I was kind of walking around. Well, you can
tell by the way you're thinking you're killing it.
Yeah.
And it was embarrassing.
The rug was on display, right?
The rug was out. people were yelling, hey, Austin Powers!
But can I just interject and say it's got nothing to do with weight? Because usually when people's buttons are popping, it's got something to do with weight.
No.
Yours isn't.
It's just a garment problem.
It's a garment malfunction. The hole has opened up too much, right?
All right, Janet Jackson.
I know. Yeah, it's a bit like that too. You're right.
Yeah.
However, right, it is the most yelled out thing to me in the past week since I've said it. I'm not kidding. Most.
Really?
Even Woolies. Oh, your button's up. Oh, your button's up. Yeah, okay. Yeah. So... I remember the hack that Tanya told us about once, one of her favourite life hacks, and I took it on board, and then I brought it up with Tanya, and she went, it'll work, because we've got a client function tonight, and I want to wear this shirt. It's one of my favourite shirts, and I want to wear this shirt, but I don't want the top button. I didn't want, I don't want to embarrass Tanya, so I'm walking in like that.
Yeah.
So, I've done it.
Oh, you have too. He had his back to me. It's the bread tag hack. And what is it doing? It's keeping your shirt together.
Yeah. Rise. Look, let's all be honest. Like, I don't know. I know it'll keep the butt. Tanya.
It does work. Show me again. Stand front onto me.
It actually kind of looks like a bit of fashion.
It does.
Kind of cool.
Because all the bread tags are the same colour.
Yeah, I thought you were just going to use one bread tag for the top one, but you've gone the whole way down the shirt.
Well, you don't want the middle one, the bust, that'll be uglier.
Well, that's it.
That is true.
So
For those that don't know what the bread tagged hack is...
Well, you used it for thongs.
Yeah, you can use it for many, many things. But in this particular instance, you slide the bread tag underneath the button after it's done up.
Yeah.
So there is no way that the button can slip back through the buttonhole.
Yeah, there you go. Now, remember, I'm a single man trying to look my best when I go out these days, see?
It doesn't look like a bread tag.
Doesn't it?
It just looks like a really weird choice of button.
Okay. It actually kind of does,
All right.
But the only problem is the button's like a white colour and the bread tags are like brown. Should you try and match the same colour bread tag with the button?
That's more Humphrey B. Bear fashion. Humphrey B. Bear has buttons like that.
This is a good sell. now I'm a bear with no pants who can't talk. Thanks for that. Okay, here's a little insight for all of you and those who remember. Maybe a year and a half ago, I had a flatmate for about 6 months.
Yes. Yeah.
That Felix. Flatmate's Felix.
Yes.
And we were like the odd couple. He's a very good dresser. Mm-hmm. Very, isn't he?
Yeah.
She's right. Guess who I just ran into in the lift with these?
Felix. What did he say?
Get them off, champion.
Get them off, champion, and you'll be like this.
Oh, my God. Well done, you.
You know the truth is?
What?
He got in and we're like, you know, mate, he went, yeah, g'day, mate. You could tell straight away because he's a high fashion dude.
Yep.
And he just looked at it and I thought, well, all right then. So there you are. It's all right. So that's it, boys.
Bread tag. It works.
You reckon you like it?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, I think you should try it out at the client function tonight and see if you get any reactions.
Well, you know, regular listeners to the show will know there's no way in the world you two would lie to me.
No, not at all.
You won't get a date, but you will get reactions. Tanya and Steve's
stuff we didn't get to. AT, hey, got a client function tonight, mate, in the area of no parking, so if you could pick me up, that'd be great. Drop me off.
Then where are you guys going to park?
Well, I'm going to get her to pick me up, then drop me off, and then you go find a park.
Right.
Like all good couples do.
Okay.
I'm going to park at Bar Beach and walk over the hill.
Well, it is, we are at the East End tonight for the Supercars client function, and you're right. Parking will be at a premium. I was actually going to catch the tram.
Yeah.
But then they told me they're cutting the tram at the Lucky.
Yeah.
Hey, so I'm that's fine not with too that. Far.
That's fine.
Stop off at the Lucky, have a couple of beers, and then we'll get to the client function.
What do you mean that's fine?
Yeah, it is fine.
Well, we get off at the Lucky and walk up.
Yes.
What do you mean, get off the Lucky and stay at the Lucky?
No.
Steve thought the same thing.
Yeah. So you don't want to do the partner thing where you drop me at the front door and then you go look for a park?
No.
Oh, just because it's your birthday tomorrow.
Only if you're happy for me to phone you and go, can't get a park, going home.
Ah.
Yeah.
Do you want me to pick you up?
Yeah. Knew that would change the tune.
Yeah, great idea. All right, we're out of here. Tomorrow is your birthday, Tanya.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Boy, why you keep...
We got some things planned for you.
Well, I don't know why you keep mentioning it, because remember, we have our pact.
No presents anymore.
No presents.
We used to do presents every year.
We could, exactly.
That's right. That's why we're so excited.
We've done nothing. Exactly. We can't wait.
We're so excited because we've honoured the pact.
And I guess it's Pie Day Friday, so you don't have to buy breakfast either.
Jackpot, baby.
There you go.
Greatest day ever.
I'm still going to go to the petrol station on the way home and pick her up something nice.
See you then.
See ya.
Tanya and Steve are off to build another show for Newcastle. You can save up to $100,000 with the McDonald Jones huge house and land sale on now.